Well, good evening and welcome to Crosswalk Talk Radio. We especially want to welcome you, but even more we want to welcome Father God, His Spirit, Jesus, the Son of the God Most High. This is a place where we can meet and have life encounters with our Lord, to know His heart and to know His will and way and timing for us. Crosswalk Talk is a production of Crosswalk Life, and I'm Carlotta Waldman, an ordained minister of counseling, ministers, seminar leader, and author of two major equipped websites at crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv. I want to welcome you to hear true stories of what God's doing in the world today, to learn how to minister more effectively, to learn more about God's will for your life. If you would care to call in tonight, 917-388-4683. And please check out our ministry training school online at nowfaith.tv. I want to welcome you to invite your friends. They can call in to 917-388-4683. And tonight we're going to be talking for a few minutes, about 30 minutes, before we take callers. That'll give you time to reach them. And we're going to be talking about prophetic teaching and ministry, but especially how the foundation of it all is relationships. You know, we minister out of our relationship with Father God, amen? From the beginning, He wanted a relationship with us. He designed it so that He could walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. He's always wanted a relationship all the way through the Bible, even after sin spoiled that perfect communion that they had, hearing God's voice every day as they walked and talked with Him. Even after that was spoiled, God was reaching out to us, even if He had to do it in our sleep through dreams. He reached out to us through visions. He sent angels or messengers to speak and to make His will known. It's always been God initiating, loving us first. Amen. Hallelujah. What a God we have. So Christianity is about relationship. It's about inviting Christ into our hearts to be Lord and to live it through us, not us on a treadmill of performance or a code of ethics trying to reach God. Strong relationships between pastoral people, between prophetic people, evangelistic people, teaching people, whatever your gift is, it's the strong relationships that make the church wonderful. Amen. It's that mutual respect. Now, I have a strong appreciation for people that want to be in unity and harmony. I'm willing to show a lot of unconditional love that covers a lot if we can have that harmony, not sacrificing doctrine, not sacrificing and going into compromise, but be willing to defer to others, to build others up, to have more understanding and to have encouragement in order to build that bond so that we can all be confident, we can all be stronger. Fivefold ministers are just made that way, that we want to equip people, we want to see them mature, we want to see them fulfill their destiny, we want to help them understand their gifts and calling and how to minister them more effectively, and that means in love, appropriately, in a way that will cause that person to be empowered, not damaged. So tonight we're going to be talking about the importance of relationships. And I'm finding that I had to learn this. I had to be taught it, and that other people do too. Many people know far more about their gift than they do about loving other people. Amen? It's just the society that we live in. But part of it is just Satan's basic plan. His plan was to target our relationships. His plan is to cause you to take offense, to have sinful reactions or behaviors or something, so that he can cause you to feel separated from others, from God, even from yourself. That's what autoimmune illnesses are about. We feel separated even from ourselves. We turn on ourselves. And that's Satan's plan, is to cause that separation and division. That's why the Bible says, mark those that cause division. It's not God's heart. But God's plan is to develop harmony and a oneness with us But, you know, if you have that harmony and oneness with God, you're going to have it at least to a large degree with other people. The Bible's very clear. If you've got issues with people, you've also got issues with God. So God's heart was to restore Adam and Eve and all of us so that we could have that communion and that walk with Him. His message always includes an invitation to reconciliation, even if it includes conviction or confrontation, not condemnation, by the way. But even if it's confronting, even if there's conviction in it, there's still an invitation to reconciliation. You can tell the heart of a true minister because they're not only serving, because that's what the word minister means, but they want to see people restored. They have that heart of redemption that Jesus came to redeem every experience we've had, not just to expose it, not just to, you know, humiliate or embarrass, something like that. Jesus came to redeem, to restore. Amen. Satan wants to cause division. He wants to separate us from each other so that he can target us more easily. He works through accusation. See, a prophetic person is not in team with the accuser of the brethren. A prophetic person is a mouthpiece for a ministry of reconciliation from the heart of God, restoration from the heart of God. But the enemy wants to get you separated out, wants you to feel divided from other people, wants you to feel accused or rejected, something like that. And then he wants you to become addicted to anything but the comfort of the Holy Spirit, just anything else, oppressed and addicted, enslaved and trapped. You know what I'm saying? Have you been there? Now, throughout time, God has talked to man, drawing him, wooing him to himself. He talked through godly leaders, through dreams and visions, through words of wisdom and knowledge given to people to help them see the light, to have open eyes and ears, and prophetic words. He's always called whosoever that would respond, whosoever that would enter in. And you can just let that ring in your head when you're looking out across a crowd of people. Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. That's how broad it is to God. He wants to restore fellowship with him, and he's gone to great lengths to prove it on the cross. Hallelujah. God wants your heart to be his heart, you to be an expression of his desires, and your acts of service to be an expression of his heart to other. Prophetic people, any kind of minister that's called to any calling can be a prophetic person to hear God's voice, and God is calling us to be a demonstration of relationship with him as we relate to other people, and they can also see that as a demonstration of our worship of the Lord, our prayer life, our absolute insistence on being obedient to God and not taking shortcuts. They can see that relationship that we have with God through not only our spiritual ministry to other people, but the way we minister to the Lord himself, our first ministry. They can see how we relate to our family. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to have perfect relationships with our family. You know, there's only so much that's in your control. But they can see how you relate to your family. And if you are making that effort to minister unconditional love to them, God has ordained all kinds of forms of relationship, and that's his plan. He wants us to be able to come boldly before him, knowing we'll obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. But he also wants to extend that to others through us, grace and help and mercy in the time of need. And usually it's the hardest when they need it the most, isn't it? When people are in the toughest spot and acting the most ornery is when they need us to come through with that grace and mercy. Then sometimes we show love in God's heart by having boundaries, by having standards, and by saying, you know, this is godly and this is not. and I'm here to help restore you to godliness. But it's not resentment. No matter how far off track they get, it's not that we allow resentment to lodge in our hearts. It's not that we become judgmental of them, because we can't minister reconciliation and restoration if we're thinking and feeling judgment and condemnation. It's not about performance-based acceptance. These relationships that we're modeling have to also exemplify that unconditional love that God gives us. He doesn't approve of all our behaviors if they're sinful. I understand that. But if we put ourselves back under the law, to fulfilling the law, to earn our salvation by works, to try to get there with self-righteousness, we're not going to minister the true gospel, amen? Well, the flip side of that is we also can't put other people under the law and insist that they earn our love with works and minister the true gospel. It can't be a performance-based acceptance. Does that mean we don't have standards, that we don't have truths, that we don't have boundaries? No. We can have all that. We demonstrate healthy life, but it doesn't keep us from loving them. Sometimes we have to have very strong boundaries with people, very strong. And Paul backed that up, and he said if they continue in gross sin and they're, you know, betraying the faith, betraying the church, betraying the leadership, you know, then you're going to have to set some boundaries on that. But still, it's with an attitude of restoration. Hallelujah. See, if you just have religion, you don't really have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you had it, you've lost it. You've got the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't have you. If you just got religion, you might be a walking gift and powerful. God might bless other people through you. You might be walking talents. Lots of knowledge, high IQ, lots of strength. But there's going to be a fleshly temptation to go into competition with other people if you're not really submitted to the Holy Spirit, because it's going to be too much about your gifts, your talents, your knowledge, and your IQ. You're going to be finding yourself performing, because that's what the flesh wants to do, to establish that I know what I know. I can do what I do. I have this experience. I have that. And it won't be just a glory to God. It won't be just an overflow of your relationship to him. It won't be that you're the plain vessel filled with him and overflowing for others. And people will know it. They'll know that you're not ministering out of relationship, to put it in short. You're not ministering out of an overflow of anointing from the time that you spent with the Lord that day yourself. They'll know, one way or the other, they'll know this person's been in the presence of God. Wonder how much alone time they really do spend with God. Wonder if they were up before dawn or up late at night. Or maybe your thing is morning, noon, and night. I'm not putting a law on it. But they'll know if you're journaling and counting precious the things you hear from God and you're keeping those close to your heart, meditating on them and worshiping, they'll know if you've really been in worship of the Lord that day. It just shows, just like Moses had a glow face on his face. So how does it look? When we really have a relationship with God, there's a certain aspect of mothering and fathering that emanates from us. Just like Elijah took Elisha under his wing. But there was a lot there to appreciate, because we can see that Elijah couldn't pry Elisha off of him. He would give him permission. You don't have to be here. You can go home. And he said, oh no, I'm going to be here. I want that anointing. I want that mantle that you have. I want to learn. I want to know God like you know him. It might have been a power thing, but you know, I just don't see that in the Bible. I see that God trusts people with power that want to know him. If you want to be like God, godly, and you're going to also have to commit to obey him. And I've seen too many people that claim to have that relationship with God, but I see them taking shortcuts to get their needs met. Sometimes I fall for that, but not for long, because it doesn't work, does it? Sure doesn't work. We are here to have that relationship with God that will cause us to be a demonstration of His heart and presence in such a way that encourages people to be mature in Christ. They want to be more mature. They get tired of their childish ways. So the purpose of the church and us in ministry is to have that relationship with God that's not only a blessing to Him and a blessing to us, but that we automatically overflow to people out of who we are in Christ, not just something we do. And God will be faithful to us. You might say, well, I don't know anybody that can mentor me. They're all so imperfect. Well, look at the case of Eli and Samuel. Every evidence in the Bible would have us realize that Eli wasn't all that perfect. His two sons turned out terrible. But God was faithful to Samuel, and God will be faithful to you. If your heart's desire is to be mentored, then I would encourage you to hear God about who can offer you mentoring, for you to accept the fact that they may only be 80, 70% of what you'd like to emulate, but focus on Christ in them rather than all their behaviors, and be blessed. There were always schools of the prophets in the Bible. There were ministry schools. There were schools where people went and learned the word. And we have Now Faith.tv Ministry Training School online that we made free last year so that people all over the world could enjoy it. Now, if you would care to make a monthly pledge, you can hit our offering plate and you can help sponsor that, because we don't make a dime off of it anymore. Not a dime. Unless somebody like you says, I want to be a part of teaching and training, making disciples in other nations. And you can see that that school with over 4 years of videos and audios is an excellent way to do it. But it's in that relationship. See, that's relationship too, when you co-labor, when you decide that maybe you can't go to the nations, but you'll help someone who has an internet ministry or goes in person and you'll help them go. It's all about ministers learning to work together, isn't it? I am so blessed when God has us in a city where the ministers work together. Whether they're doing it in an outreach, whether they are pastors who have their own churches, whatever, they're working together. And our calling here at Crosswalk Life is to help you reach your destiny, to help you understand your gifting, to teach and train you how to minister more effectively in the sphere of influence that God's given you. We do that by mentoring for ministry. If you go to crosswalklife.com and you scroll down the left side menu, you're going to see some links under a little box that's about mentoring for ministry. And you can read how we have 1 to 2 month programs, 3 to 6 month programs. You can learn to do hands-on ministry, restoration prayer ministry. You can go on real ministry trips, but it will always be about real ministry. It's not a Bible school program. It's about ministry. We also offer restoration prayer ministry, where you can come for one-on-one, or you can do it over the phone or over free Skype. Restoration Prayer Ministry is a minimum of 6 3-hour sessions where we help you to discern what's blocking you so that you can go on into the fullness of what God has for you in a relationship with Him and in ministry without all these blocks. And it will be so much easier. And that's just part of how this prophetic ministry flows. We help you to determine what's blocking you and help you determine what strategy you'll have to believe God so that those weak places can be made strong. See, that is part of the relationship that ministers and people called to ministry should have with each other, to edify and to build up and to help others reach their ministry. Because what are we? Are we a success if we're not reproducing ourselves? Are we a success if if we don't have anyone following us and who isn't turning out better than we are. I love what Bishop Bill Hammond says, that he's success if the people that he's discipling turn out better than he does. I mean, the Bible's clear. If you love God, you're going to love people too. The Bible says, you know, God says, don't say you love me if you don't love people, if you hate your brother. So we have to look at our own hearts first. I've got another thing on Crosswalk Life that I think you would enjoy. It's about what is a true spiritual father. If you go to crosswalklife.com and you put in the search box, true spiritual leader or father, I forget, versus fleshly father, you're going to see a whole page of comparisons. But the gist of it is, when you have that relationship with people and you've got relationship in your mind and heart like God does, then you're going to be sensitive to what their vision is, what their gifts and callings are, and what the Holy Spirit is doing to develop them. Whereas just a fleshly leader may want to use you to help fulfill their own vision, use you to help fulfill their own calling, and use you to help build their empire, if I can put it that coarsely. You know what I'm talking about. That's just how it is sometimes. And maybe you did learn a lot and you were blessed in that situation, but I hope you'll find an even better one when they understand their calling to father you, the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, amen. Their calling to father you so that you can fulfill your destiny. And you're able to form that bond with them that's safe. You're able to have that communication that is modeled to you, and they're willing to communicate with you, and it remains open, and you have short accounts with them like you do short accounts with God. I mean, you don't let things go on and on and on. If you finally have to agree to disagree, you do, but you don't just let things fester for no reason. And you're there to do what I call HRHR. You know, that usually stands for human resources. HRHR is my abbreviation for honesty, respect, humility, and responsibility. And if you write those four things down, we had those on a poster in a mental health unit for kids once, and it worked out very well. You know, we didn't have the Bible being pulled out on the mental health unit, you know, and communicating spiritual principles. But this HRHR was good because almost every problem that you'll have trying to build relationships with people over you, with people you're ministering to, whoever, if you operate in honesty and respect and humility and responsibility, it will begin to solve those problems. Almost every issue that comes up, it will fall under at least one of those. So just remember that, HRHR. God wants us to be approachable and available and restoring so that people can really be transformed. We don't want people to just look at us and say, oh, I wish I had a gift like that. We want people to know God's heart, to know that they've been in God's presence. And one thing that leaders look out for, you might be very serving, but here's a tip. You may not know this. Leaders watch to see. If you have a true heart of service, which will mean you'll serve the people that need it, that have real needs, not just the people in leadership who can benefit you somehow or give you a leg up in ministry. Now, it's good to do both. Yes, it is. But leaders notice, if you only want to serve people that can help you get ahead, or if you're hearing God and wanting to serve the people that really need help, even though there's nothing they can do for you. Leaders notice if you present yourself in a way that you're always promoting your IQ and your skills and your talents, or if you're truly lifting up Jesus and knowing that he is what's good about you. Paul said, I glory in Christ in me, my hope of glory. He would always talk about the glory of God and the glory of God in him, but it wasn't anything about him separated from God, right? It's just that he was filled with Christ or filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's certainly not about flattery and promotion. Leaders notice. If you want a relationship with them and you're building it, trying to build it using flattery, they'll see through that quickly, I hope. Maybe not. Or if you're trying to be their PR person and trying to promote them. And this is a little bit similar to what Jesus even had to get after Peter about, right? Or there was friends of Paul that were saying, oh, don't go there, that's not a wise move, you know, that'll hurt your career. And a person that's really listening to the Holy Spirit won't make decisions based on how it affects their career and only how it impacts them. They're going to be following the Holy Spirit. So make sure that your goal is to have intimate, interactive, frequent relationship with Father God. And then you'll be an overflow of his heart and his presence wherever you go. You won't have to get together this fancy, glittery resume and promote yourself and talk about your skills and your talents and your knowledge, etc., etc. If you have been in the presence of God, that will glorify God and speak for itself. Amen. And also, do just a little personal inventory. If people were evaluating you today, what would they say your tongue is known for? Now, this has been a continual process for me over the years because I used to really be able to slice and dice people, and people said I should have been a lawyer. But hopefully God's transformed me a lot since then because out of the same mouth shouldn't come cursing and blessing. Amen. Is your tongue known for being harsh, for just exposing things, but not really being a part of the remedy or the restoration or the healing? Is your tongue known for condemnation or restoration? Is your tongue known for gossip or arguing? Or are you approaching problems in an invitational way that draws people back to Christ, back to the Spirit of God? Is your tongue known for building trust or for betrayal? You'd be surprised how many people have been hurt by the body of Christ, by leaders and members, and they felt betrayed. They did not feel blessed. See, God chose relationship, and he chose to minister to people through people. And it's not supposed to be a super heavy responsibility, because when we're in the yoke with Jesus, the burden is easy, you know, and light. But it's an important responsibility that we stir up the life and seed of God in other people, not stir up strife. We're supposed to be stirring up his vision in them, his gifting, his destiny, stirring up growth in them that's healthy and vibrant and alive with the Spirit of God, right, amen? So we're supposed to be guided by Christ, who is our life and our relationship, and seeking his truth, and we become a voice, his voice of truth, as we walk the talk. Right? As we walk the talk. That we're demonstrating what relationship with God is about. No, I don't need flattery. No, I don't need you to be my PR man. I go where the Father says to go. I say what the Father says to say. I want to be a demonstration of humility before God that God can work with. Humility before God and man. I want to be submitted to God and the people that God wants me to submit to trust the authorities that he puts over me and that God has a purpose in it, even with their flawed state. So the adventure of loving God and one another is what makes the church great, really. If we will take that on to say, God, I want to be love, your love to others, not just a gift of the Holy Spirit, not a doctrinal debate, not just someone that can teach it and talk it, but I want to be someone that builds people up, that people know they've been in the presence of God about me, around me. Amen. So when that little voice sits on your shoulder and says, oh, don't you wish you could teach even better and preach even better and prophesy even better, serve better, that you are the most merciful one or whatever, just make sure that your motivation is for the glory of God, to be a true overflow of Him and not just be building some kind of fame or power or influence for yourself. Because there's such a thing as a behemoth spirit that tries to destroy ministries. And it comes against things like you'll hear the Holy Spirit on one shoulder saying, only speak what's lovely and good report. And this behemoth spirit is saying, oh, let's say what's wrong about them, you know. And maybe your Holy Spirit is telling you, well, how can we build a connection and a bridge with this ministry and we can be a burden bearer for them? But the behemoth spirit is wanting to cause division. And the Holy Spirit saying, let's speak restoration over that ministry. We know it needs it, and let's just be one that will declare and decree and speak that. But see, the behemoth spirit is wanting them to be accused and exposed. So every once in a while, some things do have to be exposed, but there can be a lot of restoration that goes on before we get to that point. So is your tongue known for cutting down or building up? Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Wow. And I realize he also presented it kind of the other way in a different situation. But let's err on the side of love and grace, amen, and start from a point of saying, if they're not against us, maybe they believe a little bit differently, but if they're for Christ, let's love them. Let's see Christ in them. We weren't called to debate doctrine the rest of our lives. That's how I grew up, debating doctrine. We were called to have relationships, to demonstrate the heart of God, what His desires are, and His desire is always something about restoration, seeing people really transformed, and seeing their lives renewed, amen? Hearts healed, minds renewed, souls restored, hallelujah. Well, I want to encourage you to call in. Also, to sign into the chat room if you want to put questions there or comments. It's a little bit hard when I don't, on the nights when I don't have a co-host, to see the chat room and to prophesy and to listen to you and to write your name on a list. But I'm trying. I'm trying. If you all be in prayer with me for just the right co-host, I appreciate it. They need to have everything that I just taught on tonight. Amen. I'm more concerned that they're filled with and overflowing God's Spirit than their skills and talents. I really, really am. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you to call in now. We'd only take callers for about an hour, and then we have to start wrapping it up. So I want you to call in, and if you have extenuating circumstances and maybe your cell phone drops and you get out of line, and you can always get in the chat room and let me know. Sometimes I notice that numbers drop out and they come back on, but it's more than I can keep track of. So I'll need you to let me know. Hallelujah. I want you to call your friends and let them know she's taking calls now, and we're going to trust the Spirit of God to express His heart, His way, to express His timing and His will for you. And we're just going to bind every demonic spirit, every interference, every distraction, and loose the Holy Spirit to minister through me, through your prayers. And if we'll all join together in the unity of the Spirit, we can hear God tonight. Amen. God's always got something to say. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Who have we here?
This is Christy. I was actually calling in for my grandmother, and she was waiting here by the phone for me.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hi, Grandma.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, it's Allie.
How are you?
Fine.
What's your name?
Elaine.
Elaine.
And I just want to know if you had a word for me from God.
Any certain area?
Yes, a 2x4.
A 2x4? Is that what you said?
Yes, 2x4.
I'm sorry. I meant any certain area of your life that you would like God to speak to.
Oh, gosh, no, I don't know.
Okay.
I just maybe if you had something that God wanted me to know.
Okay.
I'd like to tell me.
All right. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for Elaine. Thank you, Father. And I just hear the Lord saying that I have been the one that covered you and covered you and covered you. And one day I'm going to show you so many ways that I protected you and protected you and protected you. And I'm going to show you how I've put my wings around you and how I have wanted closer and closer relationship with you and have spoken into your life and through different sources. And I'm just going to show you all so many ways that I wanted to show you my perfect love. And even today, there's still areas that I want to heal. There's still areas that I want to heal, not only physically, but heal in your heart. And I've been mindful of those things. I haven't forgotten. I was there when you were hurt. And the Lord says, I want to have some special times with you. If you'll just set aside some special times when you say, Lord, what do you want to heal today? And what do you want to reveal to me today? And I want to not only speak to your heart, but heal your heart. And the Lord says, I'm just wanting to put my arms around you and tie up some loose ends and bring some things to a close, because I really want to express my mothering heart through you to others, and I want to give you more and more insights into my word. If you'll press into my word and just say, God, you said that you were going to give me a new ability to understand your word. I want to illuminate my word to you in new ways, because I'm just imparting to you a gift even today to be able to give people words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And as you spend time in my word, I'm actually going to be giving you the verse or the word of wisdom ahead of time. I might not even tell you who it's for. But the Lord says, I've just called you as a mother in the faith. And you might say, me? You know, I don't know. But the Lord says, I'm imparting it to you tonight, a new ability to get those special insights that will be like apples of gold at just the right time. But yes, I'm healing your heart first. If you'll spend that time with me, I'm wanting specific appointments with you so that I can not only heal your body, but heal your heart. And then out of that will become such a redemptive flow, and it will flow out on people, and you'll be surprised. Some people you'll know, some people you won't. But I'm wanting to put in your mouth specific words of knowledge and words of wisdom beyond what you've ever known about before. That you'll know that it's me, the Lord says, because you'll know. I didn't know that. I didn't know to tell you that. And it's going to be a sweet partnership with me if you'd be willing to do that. If you'll just let me give you those insights for the day, then you'll see me bring divine connections your way. Even when you don't feel like you really go anywhere, I'll still connect you with people, and you'll be able to deliver those, and you'll know that a word fitly spoken, my word fitly spoken, saves the day for them and cause them to hunger and thirst to know me. Just as I'm putting that hunger and thirst in your heart to know me better, you'll be able to impart that to others also. Amen?
Amen.
Is that cool or what?
Yes, that was wonderful. Yes.
If you'll replay this, you know, within 30 minutes after the program, you can play this on Blog Talk Radio. And you can use the pause button and pause it over and over and actually write these things out. And they will, the Holy Spirit will be able to give you more and more and more of an accurate interpretation of what God was actually saying from the written page if you will take the time to write it out. And it takes a little while, but it's worth
it. Okay. Well, that's wonderful.
Glad
thank
you called.
Very much. All right.
And thank you, Christy, for helping her get on the line. Bless you.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Have a good night. Praise God. Isn't the heart of God just the most awesome, awesome thing? And I see in the chat room they're putting one of my favorite scriptures. I always want to know more about what this one means, Acts 3:20 through 21, talking about how he would send Jesus Christ, who was preached and prophesied before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know, prophecies can have more than one time in history when they're fulfilled. And so this was spoken on the day of Pentecost, or at that time, but it could also relate to today, you know, that God is receiving or in a way retaining Jesus Christ in heaven until the restoration of all things. And that would mean like fivefold ministers, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists and pastors and teachers, and reestablishing the foundation of the church in a strong way like that. We'll have a strong church, and I believe we're going to go out in strength, not in defeat. I believe we're going to go out in strength if we'll just believe for it. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. Who's this?
This is Letitia.
Letitia, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I have a question. I wanted to know, I wanted prayer, for it, because I'm dating this guy, and his daughter is there. One is 14 and one is 16, and mostly I'm around the 14-year-old. And I know that there's no accident that I'm in their life, but it's kind of hard for me to, to get used to her, because she's kind of, disrespectful because, you know, her mom and her dad, they're not together. So I just wanted to know, is there any, what would be a good way to kind of, get to her, but not be so, aggressive?
Oh, me.
You know what I'm saying?
Blended families with teenagers. Wow.
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
been
yeah.
there and done that,
yeah.
actually. So, wow. Well, I think
I still want her to have to respect me, and I want the respect to be mutual, because even though she's 14, she's still a person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm not her mother, I still deserve respect. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do I make it to where it's peaceful and it comes out for both of us?
Whew, that's a big one.
Yeah.
If what you're asking for is counsel, then I would like you to take down this phone number and call my office. And that's at 724-206-0530.
724-206-0530.
We make appointments. Because there's not a two-minute answer to how
right.
to get teenagers in a blended family to respect you. You know, that.
Right.
But if you would like to hear a word from the Lord, that I can do in a couple of minutes.
Okay. That's okay. Well, then can you tell me something? Well, I pretty much know what God was trying to do for me, wants to do with me.
Yeah, and he's most likely to speak to you rather than as much about them. So the purpose of this program is prophetic ministry about relationship rather than a whole counseling session about relationships. So let's go there. Father,
okay.
I just thank you, thank you, thank you for this desire. And I know there's so many people out there that either have been in a blended family or are anticipating that. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you that you're about relationships and about families. And the Lord says, I know in your heart you would just love it if they were like little ducks that would just line up and the whole family could be lined up and in unity and harmony, and they would just follow along. And I'm even picturing when the wind blows hard and the little ducklings, you know, when they get blown across the the ground, they just line right back up. They just line right back up. But the Lord says, I am causing you to be a mirror in their lives, and they will be a mirror in yours. And as iron sharpens iron, you all will benefit each other. It is going to work out for good. I am in control, the Lord says. But as you spend that time with me, I will show you how I am actually bringing the maturity into your life that you have asked me for. The relationship, the ability to love people that you have asked me for through your relationship with these girls, that they are going to be able to show you some of your rough edges and you them. You'll show them their rough edges. But the Lord says, I'm here to transform you. I'm here to cause the fruit of the Spirit to just flow out. I'm here to love them unconditionally through you. But in this situation, it's kind of like the wine press, the Lord says, that squeezes out the new wine, because the old wine just isn't going to do in this situation. The old wineskins won't do. I'm pressing you into that place where you're going to have to accept the new wineskins and let the new wine flow. And as you do that, as you say, Lord, show me how to love them, what you're actually going to be learning is how to let me, Christ inside you, your hope, how to let me love them through you, because you're going to quickly come to the end of yourself and your own separated strength. Any way that you think separated from me, you're going to begin to see that, Lord, I feel like I'm on my own here, that I don't have what it takes. I don't know how to mother them. The Lord says, every time, just ask me to do it through you. Just ask me to do it through you. And I'm just going to drive you quickly to that place where you're going to know that either I'm going to think separated or I'm going to think one with Christ. And if I'm one with Christ, I can ask him to do it through me. And then you're going to know what few people know, what Paul really meant when he said, Christ in me is the hope of glory. The Lord says, I am your hope of glory. I will love them through you. I will confront. I will discipline. I'll do it all in balance. But you're going to have to come to the end of any hope that you can do it out of the Spirit and really, really take time to be filled with my Spirit to overflowing each day. And then it'll be victory for all. Just victory for all, and then their faith will be where yours is, and they will love like you love. But it'll all begin with you spending that time being submitted to my authority, and then as you sow that submission to my authority, you'll be reaping them being more willing to be submitted to authority. And as you sow that humility before me and that respect for me, as you spend time in my court and at my feet, then you'll see that you will reap them sowing more respect and humility before you. It's my law of sowing and reaping, and it always works. Sow it, and you always reap it more than you sowed and later than you sowed, but sow it. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
I think that's enough to get started on.
I think so.
Yep, if you'll just play back the program and use that pause button, you'll be able to write this out and then really war with it. By that, we mean that you can go back to God and you can say, you said you would teach me yourself how to let you live it through me, how to let you love through me, confront through me, or discipline through me. You said you would teach me if I would wait in your presence, and I'm here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Woohoo! A lot of parents can make it through life with much more peace if they know that. Hallelujah. Woo! I know I tried the blended family thing, and it's quite a challenge. It's as much of a challenge it is to raise babies. It's more of a challenge to take someone, I think, that someone else has raised, and you just don't have your rhythm set up with them. You know what I mean? I don't know of a better word to use. Area code 610, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Mark.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have two questions for you.
Two? I don't know if you get two now. What are they?
This one, then. I'll stick to the most important one. It has to do with divine healing.
Uh-huh.
Throughout the last year, the Lord has really opened up my faith to embrace a lot of scriptures on divine healing. So my question is, you know, definitely have the faith to stand out there and believe for it, but not always seeing the results. And so that's my question. Why don't we see, or why am I not seeing the results I want to see?
Well, you are, I don't want to say in luck, but in good timing. We are just about to post a discussion that we had at our weekly meeting on divine healing. Also, you don't have to wait for that audio to come out. Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
We'll be posting it on Facebook if you follow me there. I'm thinking we'll get that posted this week because I think we finished editing it today. Also, if you go to crosswalklife.com and put in the search box at the top of the page, Divine Healing or John G. Lake, you'll come to a page with about 50 of his points, to the best of my understanding, the way he taught it. Now, in answer to the question, it was about divine healing, but specifically it was why the results aren't always there?
Correct. I've seen some results, some healings, but I've been having issues with headaches for years, and I'm just not getting the victory there, and I'm a little concerned why I'm not getting the victory there.
Oh, I'm glad you added that part, because you mean results for your own healing.
Right.
Oh, okay. On that subject, I just have several things to throw out there, because I know God doesn't do it the same exact way every time. Several things that I noticed in the Bible that are just the tip of the iceberg. There's much more on this page about John G. Lake's teachings, and he saw a 75% success rate. I had 26 diagnoses and was healed of 24 of them within 3 months when I learned to declare scriptures about strongholds. Many people declare scriptures about healing, but I studied 10 or 12 famous authors and wrote a strongholds course because I was a Bible college teacher, and I collected verses about the 8 most common strongholds that might slow down a healing, and I was healed of all but 2 things. Since then, I've been in an accident, and one of those got worse. So I'm still believing. I'm in process. I'm not perfect. But when I came against strongholds that I wasn't even sure I had, I found by declaring scriptures, I got the insights to see that I did have them and how they operated through me. And you can get those very notes that I used, if you'd like them, by downloading or ordering Tearing Down Personal Strongholds in the bookstore resource store at crosswalklife.com. Another thing is I believe that by Jesus' examples and the disciples' examples in the Bible, we never see, that I know of, a single case where they begged God for healing or to heal anybody. They commanded healing. In fact, sometimes it doesn't even sound like they commanded healing. They would just say, get up and walk. They didn't even cast demons out. But other times they did. You know, they would command healing. They would command the demonic spirit of infirmity or whatever to leave. But it was never begging.
Yeah, speak to the mountain.
And Jesus would compliment persistence, you know, that this widow kept looking till she found it or kept asking or said, even the dogs get the crumbs under the table. And Jesus also complimented faith but it seemed to be defined by understanding the chain of authority and that Jesus is the authority of the universe. And so he said to the centurion, was it? You know, I haven't seen such great faith, because he said, basically, you're the boss. You don't even have to come to my house. As soon as you said, say my child will be healed, they will be. And Jesus loved it. So we've got a model of commanding it and of quoting scripture, casting out spirits or tearing down strongholds, and we've got persistence. And I added loosing and binding prayers and all the scriptures. It's a 70-page scripture prayer manual, and I put a loosing and binding sentence prayer with each one. So you don't even have to understand that. You can learn that too. And so I just encourage anyone out there that's sick or that has strongholds, which is most people, that you order the Tearing Down Personal Strongholds course and let it work for you, because it's all written out already. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The Bible says you have to confess with your mouth.
Okay, good.
So it may sound like I'm selling something, but if you look over my websites at nowfaith.tv and crosswalklife.com, you'll see there's very little of anything that costs anything.
But no, that's good. I like the teaching. I want to get the teaching, Tearing Down Personal Strongholds. I really do see it as my issue, because I believe Christ has already provided our healing. We've already received all the blessings already. So it's certainly, I don't think I have to beg him for something he already gave. It must be an issue with myself.
Well, and I ease into that in this, because I was sick 20 years with autoimmune illnesses and all, and I'm very sensitive to people that believe that they have already tried everything possible and they don't want people insinuating you're not doing enough, you know, because they've tried everything they know to try. But on the other hand, I got to a place where I was crying out, I'll confess to anything. You know, I'll do whatever you want me to do to heal me. And I wasn't so defensive, you know, and I wasn't saying I've already done it all already. I was saying, I know the problem. If there's a problem, it's on my end. Please show me what it is.
Yeah,
and when I started declaring those scriptures, he did start showing me things, and he still is. But, Mark, I just hear the Lord saying that I'm raising you up, I'm raising you up, I'm raising you up. Believe it. That I am raising you up. And because I don't despair, because I'm taking you the route of having to have some understanding, whereas, you know, I've healed some people instantly. And you've even been healed more quickly of some things than others. But the Lord says, I am raising you up. You will rise up. You will have healing in your hands in greater and greater ways. The more you pray for people, the more they will be healed. You'll see the percentages rise. Persist for at least a year and then reevaluate. But the Lord says, I'm putting a new heart of compassion in you. You're going to see people even in the marketplace and all with new eyes, just like Jesus didn't just walk right past them. He saw. I'm giving you words of knowledge. You're going to know what to pray. You're going to be able to go up to someone and ask if they want prayer, or you'll be able to go up to them with a word of knowledge and say, do you need prayer for a pain in your back or whatever? And the Lord says you're going to see us partnering together on it. You're going to know that you know that you know that this was not for nothing, that God has given me understanding about healing in so many ways. He's given me a new heart of compassion. He's given me patience with people that are shooting themselves in the foot. And now I have healing in my hands. And you're going to know that you not only are able to command healing, but you have a gift of healing. And you will thank me, even though it sounds a little out of reach right now. For everything that you've gone through with this, you will thank me.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I sure hope you'll write me and let me know what happens. The email is cwt@cwlinc.com. cwt@cwlinc.com. And please let me know what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
Bless you. Bless you. Wow. Wow. I love that. I believe that actually the Bible instructs us in 1 Corinthians 12 and in 14 to covet, earnestly desire the gifts. Earnestly desire. It's the only thing I think that we're allowed to covet and we're commanded to covet. And that includes not only revelatory gifts, we often talk about those on this program, but these miracles, signs and wonders, healing. And I believe that we are all sent out to minister healing and deliverance, that it's not just a few people, but then some people like specialize in it, you know, have a gift in it. But I believe that Jesus Christ in us wants to heal everybody. I don't know why he doesn't always heal everybody right away, but I think it's our job to believe that Jehovah Rapha is his name, it means healing, and that he wants to, and our job is to pray for him and then to leave the results to him. I have a number here that's just 1111111. I don't know if that's a credit card or if that's Skype, but welcome to the program if you think your number might be 111.
Hello?
Hello, I hear you. Welcome to the program. What's
Hello?
Your name?
Tina.
Tina?
Uh-huh.
How are you tonight?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Do you have a special request?
Yes. I have got a concern, a grave concern about someone, and I would just want to know if you could just tell me what God has to say about this person. And maybe it'll bring me some comfort. And it is.
I don't hear
is,
him do that much. Usually the prophetic word is for the person calling.
For the person calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just can you tell me how I fit into the what God would say to me about how
is
I should.
Is this person a relative?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thought so. All right. Let's ask the Father. Father, we know your heart, but we want to know specifically your heart in this situation. I hear the Lord saying, Tina, I'm expanding your heart, but in a different way than you might think. I'm expanding it, your heart, for me, first of all. And while the situation might draw you to focus on the situation and the circumstances, the Lord says, I'm expanding your heart for me, first of all. And as you focus on me, and as you meditate on my word, and as you declare my word, but focus on me. Just really focus on me. You'll grow in confidence. I just want to place that confidence in you that I am in control. I have your best interest at heart and theirs, that I am orchestrating. My Holy Spirit is orchestrating situations, that the devil does not have the upper hand, and I will not let them run off the palm of my hand. But I want to change your focus so that your focus is totally on me, that you're able to enter into my rest and able to say, God, just show me what you're going to do next. But you'll show it. You'll say that with confidence rather than doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to experience the peace that passes understanding in the midst of the situation, because you'll know that I only have your best interest at heart and their best interest at heart. And I want to fix your truster so that you're able to trust me in the way that you want them to trust me. And the Lord says, then I'll be able to flow through you in a way that doesn't even require words all the time. Because you'll have been in my presence, and when they're in your presence, then they'll be able to feel my presence and know what faith is and know what love is and know what trust is. And so the Lord says, I'm calling you to be that vessel that I can flow through, but you'll get there not by focusing on them and what they need, but by focusing on me. And even as I sent my disciples out to other cities and I promised them that I would take care of their concerns at home, I'm saying the same thing to you. If you will focus on me and go where I send you, I will take care of the things at home. And as you enter into that peace and rest, it will be the loudest testimony that you could ever give. Amen.
Yeah. That's confirming some things that I've already felt God was saying.
Really?
A lot of it was, and I just needed to know that that is what he's been saying to me. Mm-hmm.
How did you hear it? What was he saying?
I've just felt that a lot of what you were telling me was exactly what he's been telling me.
Well, he tells a lot of us similar things, but it sounded like that it was specific with you, you know, that your testimony of the peace and rest, and I know that I was in a situation many years ago that was just horrendous, and people would come up to me and they would marvel and say, how can you appear so peaceful in the middle of this? And I just kind of reflect on that and think, you know, that was louder than anything I could have told them. I really do have the peace and confidence in God. I really do.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, it's real. I need that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling.
That's what I'm working on right now.
Well, if you Thank feel you. Like you or they are open to Restoration Prayer Ministry, we do meet with people by appointment. You know, we do. But it's a whole life ministry. It's not just a quickie prayer. If you or they are interested in, you know, finding out all the things that might be blocking you, then we can trust God for that in the midst of these 6 3-hour sessions. And people see awesome breakthrough. Just awesome breakthrough. God is so faithful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm planning on doing that. Are you booked up right now?
We are usually booked a couple months in advance, but we still have a slot in January, and then we'll be booking in February. So it's important to go ahead and apply with a 10-page application. If you're in the chat room, I've just put the address where you can look up Restoration Prayer Ministry on crosswalklife.com. And there's a 10-page application, and you need to read these 4 articles and find out what it really is, because it's different.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Please email me, okay?
Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Area code 770, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, I'm enjoying the radio show, and I've been following you for a while, and I decided to call tonight and listen, and I think it's this wonderful ministry that you have. Excuse me. And I have a request myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't take this in any kind of braggadocious way, okay? But I'm trying to be careful how I say this. But the Lord has given me messages before, you know, prophetic messages, that to the extent that I was overflowing to the brim with potential. And that causes me problems because I can do so many different things. And God has allowed me so many different opportunities that I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. And some things I do myself. Like I do 2 types of relationship coachings, and I find myself drawn to helping equip the church for the Great Commission. But he sends me certain clients for one of my relationship building programs that I have.
Okay.
I've been given more because
we don't want. I don't want you to tell me things,
okay,
because
okay.
Prophetic people don't like to
okay.
know anything
okay.
in the natural.
All
do you
right.
have a question?
Right. Okay, I do. My question then. I'm sorry. My question is: I would like for God to help me in deciding what are the things I am supposed to do that will bring him the greatest glory? Because when I get to heaven, I want him to say that I've done what he wanted me to do.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. We all have that. Oh, I hear the Lord saying, Debbie, I've placed the altar before you. First step is to lay all of them down on the altar. I mean, really, though. Not just pretending. Lay them all down on the altar. And the Lord says, as you submit it all to me, then I can use it. You know, what you will confess, I'll forgive. What you'll yield, I can cleanse. You know, what you'll lay down, I can use. But the Lord says, really, when you lay down each and every one on the altar, what I'm really after is your own heart, that you lay down every hope, all of the things that you've placed your hope in, and just have me. The Lord says, I'm filling you with a new understanding. Even tonight, it's beginning in a greater way, a new understanding that when you have me, you have everything. And it's that flexibility of being totally, totally submitted to me, of being humble in my presence. And the Lord says, I'm going to test you on it. And you're going to see that it's wonderful and yet a test at the same time, because each day, if you will come to what I call the staff meeting in the morning with me and you, I will change your priorities, I will change your budget, I'll change your schedule until you become just that one that's molded and made in my hand, that's flexible and pliable. And when you get there, it'll be easier. And you'll just be listening all the time. Is that you, Lord? Is this part of my assignment? Because there's no pat answer to it. Just because you might be the most knowledgeable, the most experienced, and the most skilled does not mean I want you to do it. And so I'm not giving you a one-time answer. I'm giving you a lifestyle for eternity, really, that you would be so humble before me that you would say, Lord, is this part of my assignment? And never assume that you're the man for the job. Never assume that because it needs to be done, you'll need to do it. Never assume that it's about resumes or experience or knowledge, but you'll be led by my Spirit. Then, the Lord says, we can partner together so much better, because I'll always be able to be the creator in and through you, and I'll always be able to do it in a new way, because you won't fall back on how you've done it before, what's worked, or what fits in with your knowledge or the circumstances or the facts. You'll look to me to do it through you, and I can do it a new and fresh way every time. And then people will know that from your ministry, they get fresh bread and living water. No leftovers, no what was served last time. Always fresh bread and living water, because you'll stay focused on me. And it won't be so much which opportunity, which gift, which job description, that even the way that the enemy would like to come against you in the future is to cause you to be discontent because you weren't chosen for something, or your ministry wasn't advancing or growing the way you thought. And he wants to fit you into these boxes, and this is who you are. You're this title, or you're this gift, or you're this ministry. And the Lord says, I'm warning you now. I don't want you to be forced into that box. I want your ministry, so to speak, to be one simple thing, and that is, what do I see the Father doing, and what do I hear the Father saying, and that's it. That's it. Don't box me in to opportunities and to callings and ministries. I'm looking to and fro over all the earth for that one that would be totally flexible from hour to hour, just to do it my way and my timing with my priorities and my budget, no matter how many times I change it. Amen?
Amen. Wow.
It's kind of like maybe the good news. You could look at it like the rover on the basketball team. You know, and the rover can play any position. So the Lord says, I'm calling you to this multifaceted way, but the way you get there, see, I could just tell you that that's multifaceted, and it wouldn't really communicate it. So I've broken it down for you tonight. I'm going to exercise you in it of changing your budget, changing your schedule, changing your priorities. And you think you're just going to know what I want you to do that day, but in the staff meeting that morning, you may see me erase most of the list and add something else that looks small in your eyes. But the Lord says, I'm training you.
I believe that, and I accept that, and I do, it does resonate with me, so thank you.
Okay. Well, I have to live that all the time, because I was telling somebody, you know, when you're the president and founder or something, you kind of think by the time you get there, you'll know what your job description is. But really, it's still the same from hour to hour. The Lord always has new things, and it's not that I don't know how to do time management, and I don't, you know, know what's important versus what's urgent versus what can wait, but I have to listen to the Holy Spirit and see what He says to do next.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost never anything that makes any money, but anyway, that's all. Hallelujah. I hope you'll write me sometimes to let me know how this unfolds at cwt@cwlinc.com.
I see that. I'm here on the Blog Talk Radio, so I see that. And I will definitely do that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
God bless you.
It's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to build up God's people, to encourage them. And even though I'm not able to, you know, hear it if God's not saying it, what the end of the road, you know, they want to know what is the name of the town at the end of the road? Where am I going? You know, what's the address? God is always about telling us how to get from here to there. And when I first started prophesying, it seemed like it was more people's gifts and calling, and they were actually quite happy with that. They wanted to know what their gift and calling was, and that might have helped Debbie tonight. But what God wants to do is to help us to know how to really be humble before Him in relationship with Him. Because to Him, that's the goal, the relationship, not where we're going. Oh, me. So he has to change that thinking, too. Area code 215, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Elaine. I'd like to know, God's advice on my clutter and disorganization, which is not very good.
So, would you say that sentence again, please?
Clutter in my home and disorganization in my home.
You want to know what God says about clutter?
Yeah, he doesn't like it, but I'm stuck, so...
All right. Has God already told you what the root issue is with the clutter? He told me to ask you that.
Yes. But I'm stuck.
The first thing, then, is to recognize, kind of like the scientific method, you know, what to identify the problem. And then the next thing is to say, self, have I done what God has already told me to do? You know, have I responded to what He's already given me as an issue or the next thing to do or the next thing to believe or to say? And so that, when people are stuck, that's one thing to ask is, have you already responded what He told you last? And the Lord says, Elaine, I have an awesome, awesome healing I want to do in your life. And I've seen where the enemy began to attack you even before you were born, and he set up stumbling blocks in the generations, even before you were born. And yes, I do know who I chose as your parents, but the Lord says, I'm your Redeemer, and I'm bigger than it all. And I want to come in. I want to come in and remove those stumbling blocks. And there have been lies and deceptions that have come down, and they've damaged your heart, just stomped on your heart at times, and damaged your heart. And the Lord says it's been hard to get that discipline together and to be all that you want to be. And the Lord says, I know it, and I'm not focused on the surface issues. I'm not even focused on the surface causes of the clutter. The Lord says, I want to go deep in your heart and fix it. I want to bring you back into a place of wholeness and harmony in a way that your energy can once again flow freely and you can have that unity of your own spirit and you can have a new love and acceptance, not just of me and of others, but yourself. And the Lord says, I'm just wanting to bring all the pieces of your heart back together in a new way where you can be single-minded, focused on me, and a true disciple in a way like you've never been before. And it won't be this internal noise and battle going on like it's been. But there's going to be a new sweetness to life, a new understanding of me as your Savior and Redeemer, a new ability to receive my perfect love that will cast out all your fears. And then, without you really even focusing in on it, the clutter on the exterior will be clearing up too. Are you there?
Yeah. All right, sounds great.
Does it?
Right.
God loves you. He loves you with an eternal love that's not only preparing a great future, not only healing your present, but is going into your past and healing that in such a way that you'll even have a new past. It'll be all redeemed.
How do you get all the things you say?
Pardon?
How do you get all those things? Just thank God by faith he's going to do it all?
Well, first you write this out. It takes a little bit of effort, but you play the program back after the program. It pops up about 30 minutes after the program. And you can play it and use the pause button and write it out. And you begin to agree with it. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth. You begin to agree with a prophetic word. But then you also not only do that like every day, you train your mouth to agree with it instead of the negative, but you also trust God for each and every aspect of that, and you spend the time with him. Say, you know, get out your Bible, get out your worship music, whatever he leads you to do, spend time with him and say, God, you said that you were removing roadblocks and lies and deceptions that were set up before I was even born. Show me what they are. Show me you doing that. Show me how to cooperate with you. Or he might tell you to call someone or to connect with someone that ministers in that way, like he might tell you to call me and say, help me, you know. So he may do both. He may be doing it probably in your quiet time, but also he may connect you with someone or with me, and we'll help you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. He'll direct you. If you'll spend the time with him, he'll direct you. He is a talking God.
All right. Thank you.
I hear the peanut gallery laughing back there. Who is that? Or was that you?
I don't know.
I thought I heard someone laughing. Okay. Have a wonderful night. God may even start while you sleep in dreams and visions. If you dream something, be sure to wake yourself up, rouse yourself up, and write it down. It may be your
remember first... my dreams, so that's a problem.
Hmm?
I don't remember my dreams.
That's why I'm giving you the exhortation. Wake yourself up at that moment. Rouse up. Never think you'll remember it in the morning, because that's the whole nature of God dreams, is they're in your spirit. and they're not necessarily rememberable in the morning. Mm-hmm. You have to pursue it. Wait, rise up and write out every detail. Then you can discern it in the morning, but write out the details at night. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right,
be blessed.
You.
Let me know what happens.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Hmm. The interesting variety tonight. I just love how to hear God talk. I just love it. Can't get enough of it. We praise you, Jesus. We just praise you that you are a redeemer. You do all things well, and you deserve our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you all, for praying. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Yes, this is Christy.
Oh, is this Christy again?
Yes. I wanted to make sure that my grandmother got in since we had so much trouble last time, so I figured I would call back in and see if I could get in also.
I wondered about that, but you actually could have said, because you're not like a frequent caller or something, you could
right.
have said, may I have a word too?
Oh.
Would have been all right.
Okay, I didn't know, but I wanted to just, you know, let everyone else have a chance also. So I'm really open to anything that God would have to speak to me. But if there's one thing in particular, I've been thinking about going into opening a business. And I was going to see if God had a word for me to see if that's maybe a direction that I need to go in or if he has something else in mind for me.
Wish Prophet Rita was here. Good at those specifics.
That's Lord. Okay, and really, yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't know what this means, but it's not something I usually picture. And we're believing for God to speak, and I see awnings. I see awnings, you know, like you would see in front of a cute little shop in town, you know.
Yes.
I see awnings,
wow.
Whatever that means, you know, those little striped awnings. Don't make a major decision based on that, okay?
Okay?
Wait for confirmation or, you know, see if there's an interpretation of that. But I did immediately start to see these little awnings. And I thank you, Lord, that you have designed Christy's personality. You are placing your desires in her heart. You are the energy that she needs inside her. You're the dunamis power. I thank you that she has the mind of Christ and that her desire is to be in the middle of your will. I thank you, Lord, that you will not withhold that, that she will know as you unfold. I just see puzzle pieces, and there's quite a few of them like a jigsaw puzzle. So you're going to have to press in, Christy, but if you will press in with pen and paper in the morning, you know, that God will start giving you step by step. He will light your path. And the Lord says, that I make myself known to those that are willing to not only know the truth, but to obey it. And there are many principles that I'm going to be teaching you along the way. And there will be times when you won't know whether to believe people or believe me. And I'm exercising you in believing me. And there will be times when people say, rush in, and you'll know that I'm saying, wait for my green light. Don't even go ahead on yellow. And there'll be times when people will say, stop, 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 and you'll hear me say, step out on the invisible bridge. But the Lord says, never, never make a decision based solely on money. Mm. Never make a decision based solely on money. Know that the money is the easy part for me. Neither presume on me. Just wait for my green lights. Wait for my will, way, and timing, and know that if you have heard that, what my will, way, and timing is, that the money will be forthcoming. So don't be presumptuous, but neither drag your feet because you don't have all the facts yet, because that's what faith is. Faith hears me say, get up and go to another country and I'll tell you where it is while you're on your way, you know.
Right.
Faith takes the next step without having to know the last step. Okay. And so the Lord says, I'm always about increasing our relationship more than I am giving you the last step and the last piece of the puzzle. I'll tell you what you need to know. Like I told Corey Ten Boom's father, tell her she'll have the ticket when it's time to get on the train. But remember that my chief goal will always be to draw you to my heart, to have you seek me first, and to know me more than anything else. And as you do that, then you'll just see these puzzle pieces just keep coming, and your confidence in me will grow and grow, because you'll know he'll be faithful to give me a few more pieces of the puzzle, and I'll know everything I need to know at the time I need to know it. Just don't let your mouth say anything like God is late, he always works at the last minute, or anything that would be a slur on my character. The Lord says, just have perfect confidence that I always, always give you or have already given you everything you'll need for life and godliness and business. Because I'm calling you to be a testimony of my provision in a time when most believers are screaming about the economy as if there is no God. So as you testify, as you exemplify that confidence that I always give as many as the pieces of the puzzle as are needed at the time, then you'll be a testimony. And many will gain courage and faith. They'll gain courage and faith for these end times as they see you walk this out, when they'll be saying things like, oh, most businesses don't make any money for this many years and they most of them fail and all of this. You'll just demonstrate confidence in me that if I told you to do it, it will be a glory to my name. Amen.
Wonderful. Amen. That is so wonderful. I've really never felt so close to God in my life. I feel so blessed.
Hallelujah. Press in, write it out, say, God, you said. You said,
yes.
You said. Amen.
Amen. And I'm definitely going to make a commitment to spend more time and to make that a priority, to spend more time with him and to seek him and to trust him.
Well, I know I encourage people to do that like a broken record, but that really is God's goal, just like the teaching at the beginning of the program. His goal is to have this awesome, intimate, interactive relationship with all of us, and he doesn't want us to focus on the career or the business or the family member or whatever it is more than
right.
him. If we'll focus on him, then we'll have it all. You know?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do another person tonight. I think we can do another, maybe two more. Let's see. Area code 702, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
I was your very first person, but I keep getting knocked off the line. I don't know if it's my phone or the line.
Oh, I hope
anyway,
you can stay on.
I did. I've been on listening. And I agree with everything you said in the very beginning about some people in the church, some of the ministers, and I really like what you're doing. I'm glad I found your site. And if you have a word from the Lord for me and my son, I would appreciate it. Oh, I called my sister in Dallas and told her to tune you in, too.
Okay. Told her to tune me in, huh? Praise the Lord. I want to be tuned in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless you. Oh, Christina, the Lord says I've got you between a rock and a hard place sometimes, and I want you to be able to trust me in the midst of that and to know, oh, God, you've got me between a rock and a hard place. What are you doing, you know? And there have been times when you thought it was the devil and you wanted to bind the devil, and surely the devil has wanted to opportunize on it. But the Lord says, I brought you to a place that is beyond your ability to make it work out, to control it, to even know what to do next. And the Lord says, let go. Just let go. Just let go. Yeah. And the Lord says, I will let you know if there's anything you can do to help me. But the Lord says, I mean it, like put it in block letters on a poster, let go, because many people are too passive. You know, they don't do enough. They're not involved enough. They want everything in the Christian life to be like a magic wand that's laid over, you know, waves over their head and fixes everything. But the Lord says, I'm saying to you just the opposite. In this season of time, it's time to let go, because I want the very people that you're praying for to be able to focus on me. And as you let go and you intercede, but you do it quietly and you just step back, they'll be able to focus on me. And I will talk to them. I will talk to them man to man. And I will bring pressures to bear, but I will also sometimes give them an even bigger space and time to repent than you think I should. But just don't panic. I do this perfectly. I am their tutor too. And I know exactly... Okay, I'm tempted to edit this, but this is what I heard. I know where the pressure points are.
Oh, okay.
I know when to push them. But they have got to see you letting go and learning that perfect peace and rest in me. That's part of it.
Okay.
That's part of it. You really do have to step back. Give them the space that they need so that they can focus on me. And while they have no intention of doing it right now, I'll handle that end of it. I'm perfectly able. I'm able to introduce myself to them. I'm able to have encounters with them. I'm able to bring witnesses that will confirm and confirm and confirm. And I'm excellent at pursuing and loving people before they love me. But the proof of all that will be that they can see that you can let go and let me handle it. Unless I notify you that there's something that you can do, your job is to let me make them good and you just make them happy. Okay?
Oh, yep. That's right.
You know what I mean by make them happy. That doesn't mean knock yourself out doing things. That just means let them have the space they want.
Let them call me. Let them call me when there's a need.
Yeah. Yeah, give them the space that they want.
Now, there is a gentleman that I met. I don't know him. I met him, and I think he's an angel. That's another story. But he's from another state, and he's supposed to come out here. I just want to make sure that he's a safe. He seems to be a godly man. But you can't. Sometimes I don't have discernment because I really have not been. I've been praying in seclusion for a while.
Yeah, well, just focus on me, the Lord says. I'm going to try to get these other two callers right quick. But as you focus on me, you will see me come in on my white horse and handle things. And it won't be as quick as you want me to, but my timing will be exquisite. It'll be perfect. And you'll be telling the testimony on it for years to come. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You can bank on
me. Yeah. I sent you some emails. I'll tell other people about you out here.
Bless you.
They guarantee it here in Las Vegas, I tell you. You should be getting a big following here because people around here really need to be taught.
Well, if you all get together and buy me tickets, I will come out there, okay?
Let's see what we can do.
Talk to you later. Area code 617, welcome to the program. Area code 617, welcome to the program. Oh, they must have fallen asleep. One more time, area code 617, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
What's your name?
It's Lisa.
Teresa?
No, it's Felicia.
How do you spell that?
F-E-L-I-C-I-A.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, I get it now. Do you have a one-sentence request? We're about to run out of time.
Yes. I just would like to know what the Holy Spirit is. How the Holy Spirit wants me to take my schooling, and also my relationship, kind of what he's saying about them.
What is he doing, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, me. About school and relationship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Of course, Shandala Baka. I just see Jesus standing before the man that was blind, and he prayed for the man and commanded his healing. And he asked the man how he was seeing, and he said, well, I'm better, you know, but I still see men walk, and they look more like trees. And Jesus prayed again. And the Lord says, I'm taking you through a process that will open your eyes to some things that you haven't seen. And the enemy has wanted to distract you and that you wouldn't see them. The enemy has wanted to cause some division and some division of your own focus and division of relationships. And the enemy has wanted to use anything he could, no matter how big or small, to get you off point. And when a pilot is flying and he calls into the control tower, if there's something in him that he would want to pretend that he's further along than he is, and he gives different coordinates than where he really is, and they can't give him, you know, the accurate directions of where to go and to get there, and he'll miss his destination. And the Lord says, I'm just calling you into a place where you can be more and more honest with me, and I can purify your desires in a way that even the good ones will be more aligned with mine. And I'm calling you into a place where the enemy has wanted to blind you and cause confusion, and even his goal is to take you into a place of self-deception, so don't go there. The Lord says, my heart for you is to give you awesome spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, that you'll be able to see red flags even before other people do, that you won't fall for the deceptions of the enemy. But the Lord says, you're going through a test right now. Going through a test. Your priorities are being tested. But most of all, your ability to believe that I not only can meet your needs, I've already met your needs. And the Lord says, you haven't seen it clearly, but I want to open your eyes and show you that actually you're complete in me already. And that seems kind of like surreal or not really pertinent, but the Lord says, press in, write this out, press in, and say, Lord, you said you'd show me how I'm complete in you already, and I will. I will. It will be a reality to you. It will be more real than any circumstances or facts. I will show you.
Okay.
Write it out, war with it, and hold God to it. Say, you said you would give me awesome spiritual eyes and ears, and I would see red flags, and I would see self-deception before it comes anywhere near me, and I will be the one that will know that I know your will and your desires. And as you press into that, you will experience it. It'll be your way of life.
Okay.
Be blessed. Area code 605, welcome to the program. Area code 605, welcome to the program. Oh,
hello?
My bad, I didn't push the right button. What is your name, please?
This is Jenny.
Jenny, how are you tonight?
I'm okay, how are you?
I'm good. Do you have a one-sentence prayer request?
Yeah, I'm actually I'm fighting for my marriage right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just need, God's told me to wait, and I just need to know exactly what he wants me to do and what I should be doing.
Okay. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Jenny. We just really thank you for Jenny, for everyone out there that says, oh, I want to hear this one too. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in relationships, like you never have before, that people are turning to you like Jenny and they're saying, Lord, what do we do? What is my part? Show me my responsibility. Help me to hold my heart open. The Lord says, I'm giving you a new ability to hold your heart open and to know how to be my heart to others. And while there be many times where you'll say, Lord, it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. It's the same or it's worse. The Lord says, still, you will have a new ability to hold your heart open and to be my heart to others. The Lord says, I'm teaching you awesome revelations of what unconditional love is. But day after day, hour after hour, sometimes you're going to have to choose to receive that. I'm teaching you how to have how to have boundaries and to have unconditional love at the same time. I'm teaching you special discernment, that you can discern what demonic manifestations are and differentiate that from the person. The Lord says you're going to learn how to tear down strongholds, but how to love the person. I'm putting in you a new knowing, if you'll receive it. All of these things are conditional on you receiving it and pressing into it, but I'm putting in you a new knowing of how to pray loosing and binding prayers. But don't just pray them for him, pray them for yourself also. Say, in the name of Jesus, I loose us from a Leviathan spirit of pride that would destroy our covenant relationship. And I bind us to covenant relationships in the fullness, God, that you intended. You know, pray it for both of you. And the Lord says, I'll give you new insights, not only about them, but about yourself. And regardless of what happens each day, you're going to know, I am experiencing God's love like I've never experienced it before. I'm letting it flow through me like I've never let it before. Yet I still know how to be more assertive. I know how to have boundaries. I'm being able to discern situations. I'm discerning what's the enemy and what's the person. And the Lord says, it's a hard place to be in, but you ask for so many things. You've asked for so many things, and nothing can limit my faithfulness to you, but your own unwillingness, you know, to receive it. Nothing can limit it. There's nothing that he can do or choose that can limit my faithfulness to you. And the main thing is that you will know me better, and you will know that through that experience, I learned what unconditional love is. I learned to be assertive. I learned discernment. I learned boundaries, and I am the woman I am today. It's what you'll say one day. Because I went through that hard place.
Wow.
So don't drop out of my training school. This is your fast track to where you've wanted to be. It really is. It's a hard saying, but it's the truth. You can drop out and go through the slow school.
Yeah. I'd rather stay on the fast track.
A lot of us want to learn the fast way, but we don't realize that that means we might be between a rock and a hard place to do it where we have to learn. Hallelujah.
For sure.
Hallelujah. I don't want to forget you. Please email me now and then and let me know how it's going.
Okay.
Okay. Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Every one of you that called in tonight. Isn't God good? It never, never ceases to amaze me how God talks to people, what his heart is like, how he is so keenly involved in each one of our lives. He knows what we prayed today. He knows what we care about. He's got his own tutoring school for each one of us. But I also hope that you won't try to go through these things alone, that you will, you know, check it out. Go to our Now Faith TV Ministry Training School online. You don't have to go through these things with just the insights that you have right now. You can have tons and tons of more insights. You don't have to learn the hard way like I did. You can say, you know what, I can learn the hard way, or I can learn from, you know, these spiritual leaders that are on Now Faith TV, like I myself, I'm in my 60s now. I have a lot to share, so let me do it. Look at the audios and videos. See the handouts. Many of the prayers are already written out. Let us help you. And also on crosswalklife.com, there are over 300 articles there just to help you. You can use the search box. You can actually put in relevant, you know, searches and get the help that you need now. But many of you, you want to know, okay, where do I start when you get there? That's the most common question I get. The sites are so huge with over 500 things. Where do I start? And I recommend that people, you know, read some articles on Crosswalk Life. There are many there. But go to the NowFaith.tv Ministry Training School and just click on Schools, click on Ministry, click on Archives, and begin with Year 1, Semester 1. Why? Because we've observed over the years what the Holy Spirit usually does in people's lives, first, second, and third, and we've lined it up for you already. He's going to want you to know that, you know, He is building now faith in you. Then the next one is about how to take your own flesh to the cross. This will really help you if you learn how to really take your own flesh to the cross. And then there are articles there, and there's videos and audios that will teach you how to trace from fruit to root in your own life. You see the fruit of something, you know it's not godly, you don't know what the root is, and it'll tell you how. You don't have to have an individual in front of you all the time. You can go to the school at your own pace and your own timing because it's on the internet, and you start and go at the pace, you know, however much you hunger, go that often. And start a notebook. A lot of people even burn the audios or videos onto a CD or DVD, but at least start a notebook and print out the articles. And then when someone calls you for prayer, you'll be able to just flip right to that and know some verses and some of the main points in the Bible and how to minister to that person, because the whole school is about how to minister more effectively. So I just want to encourage you, don't just lean on me or someone else to give you these insights. Press in. We've already recorded them. They're already there. It's over 4 years of audios and videos on subjects that we all have to deal with. About half of them are interviews with other spiritual leaders, and about half of them are me teaching from the experiences that I've had. And almost every subject that we've got on there is something that applies to everybody, everybody in some way. So I just want to encourage you, if you would like appointments, you know, for Restoration Prayer Ministry, to call our office at 724-206-0530, and that's between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. There's not anybody there during the middle of the night, so please don't call. And let us help you. You do not have to go through this alone, and actually, God doesn't want you to. We have to get over that fierce independence. Learn to work in team. Learn to let people help us. And if you're a survivor of abuse, we almost specialize in that around here, the tough cases. And we love you. We want you to call. We'll give you time to build that trust. But we want to help and believe that God is going to make every weak place strong. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you. Encourage you. In these end times, not to expect to go out and defeat, not to just keep confessing that things will get worse and worse and worse, but to believe that God plans to have a bride without spot or wrinkle and is in the business of healing us and delivering us and setting us free. Setting us free. So I encourage you to just call your friends and let them know that they can call in for a word. And I never get enough of hearing or sharing God's voice. But on the other hand, there's just so much that we have online already. We just really, really want you to avail yourself of that and let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. And please, look in our resources store. Get tearing down strongholds. Begin tearing them down. Those are audios in the manual as well. And please, press in. Know that God loves you too much to leave like you are.
If you're hungry, come to Him. If you're thirsty, come. For Jesus said, if you thirst, he that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of life. Rivers of life, rivers of life will flow out of your belly. Come and drink. We need to be like the deer that pants for the water, that unquenchable thirst. Come unto him now. Oh, come and be filled. Oh, come and be filled. Yes, come and be filled to overflow. Wants to overflow you tonight. Saturate my heart. Let me be filled, oh Lord. I want to be filled. I don't want to leak out, Lord. Keep me full. I'm thirsty, Lord. Yes, I'm thirsty, Jesus. I hunger for your touch. I hunger for you, Lord. Oh, and I'm thirsty for more of your glory, Lord. More of your glory, oh. Thirsty Lord, come and give me to drink. I'm thirsty Lord, come and give me to drink of the new wine, of the new wine, of the new. Of the new wine. I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, come and give me, Lord. Come and give me, Lord. Yes, Lord, soul. Come and change my heart, Lord. Come and change my heart. Come and change my heart. Oh, come and change my heart, Lord. Never be the same again. You'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us even unto the end. Oh, Jesus, you gave your spirit to live within our hearts, and we can be strong in the Lord. That you give, we more than conquer.